Shalom, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Mormon Kabbalah Podcast.
We are still on chapter 3. We've gone through the first day of the creation. And I want to just quickly recap a couple of things here. We are matter unorganized. One of the points of what we're going through as we go through the meditations over the four-week cycle of the days of creation that we went over last week. One of the reasons we're doing this is so that we can become organized. We are chaos. We are in darkness. So the light is coming into us and organizing things in such a way that we can go out into the world and be that light of Christ to represent being born again, so that those that are seeking shall find. Now, that's not a verbal evangelism. That's not the idea that we go out and tell people they're going to hell or preach repentance. We're walking the path of Teshuva, and that is preaching the gospel. That is preaching Teshuva, because if we're on the path, we can't help but invite others to it. And that invitation isn't me saying, hey, come on. Sometimes it is, if the Spirit moves us to do so. But in general, it should just be our example. It should just be our way of life. There's many times growing up when someone will say, oh, I didn't realize you were a churchy person. I'm sorry, I won't swear around you. Now, why do they say that? Because people who are churchy, using air quotes here, they will say, oh, don't say that around me. I find it offensive. It's better if they see you not doing it and then just pick up on that habit because they're around you and you're shining that light. You don't have to pinpoint things that you don't like. You have to pinpoint things that people think are bad or wicked or evil. People know what's right and wrong intuitively. Now, they can make excuses to do what's wrong, but those that are leaning towards the light are going to know, and they're going to walk in that direction. They are chaos, just like you, just like me, waiting to be organized. And as it says in the first chapter of John, in the Gospel of John, darkness doesn't recognize the light. So we can spend a year, our lifetime, ranting and raving about how people need to repent. But the call to the light doesn't have to be verbalized. It can come from our example. So the Holy Ghost enters us. We go through the first day of the creation. And I went over the last week in a four-week cycle. And as we do this, we divide the light from the darkness inside of us. And naturally, as I just said, it will divide the light from the darkness around us. One of my absolute favorite talks on tape from the Brighamite Latter-day Saints out in Utah, African-American woman, I believe she was from New York, and I apologize, I don't remember her name, but she bore an amazing testimony of how when she first gained the gospel and she first came to Christ, she didn't know how she was going to get away from the bad influences that had drug her life down up to that point. But she had it in her hand. When they came over, she didn't say, oh, get behind me, Satan. She pulled out a Book of Mormon. She wanted to read with them. She wanted to talk with them. She wanted to live her life. She wanted to live the gospel. And those of her old friends that were in darkness couldn't comprehend the light. And as she says, the Book of Mormon chased them away, but it invited hope into those seeking the light and helped bring them to Christ. So we have divided that light from the darkness. And it's God telling us what to do and us doing it. Now, we're going to go over the second day. And again, starting in verse 12, Elohim spake and said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. And it was so. For behold, Elohim said, let it divide the waters from the waters. And it was done. For the gods, lowercase g, obeyed the word of Elohim. And they, the gods, lowercase g, said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and it shall divide the waters from the waters. And the gods, lowercase g, ordered the expanse so that it divided the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so, even as they ordered. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the gods, lowercase g, followed, calling the expanse heaven. And it came to pass that there was, from evening until morning, that was called night by the reckoning of the gods, lowercase g, and it came to pass that it was from morning until evening that they called day. And this was the second time that they called night and day, and thus the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, one thing I want to point out, but I'm not going to really get into, Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the gods, lowercase g, follow, calling the expanse heaven. Notice that there's two different words there. Is there a reason for that? Maybe we'll get back into that later. Maybe it's something for you to think about. But for now, I want to move forward and talk to you about this idea of water. Last week, you remember we talked about the heavens and the earth, because we're talking about dividing light from the darkness. We're talking about what these things mean from a Kabbalistic point of view. And if you remember, heavens represents the creator, that divine will, the divine altruistic point of view. And that's what we're seeking. That's what we want to have. The earth represents our desires. The heavens represent that heavenly desire, that godly altruism that we want to have. It's what the creator has, the desires to bestow upon us joy, happiness. It's the reason the earth was created. What is the earth? The earth is, it represents our egoistic desires. As we are in wickedness and chaos, that of course becomes our pride, the things that we want for ourselves. Our goal is not to corrupt the heaven to be like the earth, but to bring the earth down to the heaven, that spark of fire, of holy fire, to burn inside of us, to reform the earth as the creation of God it was intended to be when it was created. Likewise, we're going to talk for a moment about what some of these symbols mean with the elements. Today, we're going to be talking about water. Water represents mercy. It represents Jesus Christ. That is the mercy of God. Earth represents wisdom. It represents our Heavenly Mother or the Divine Feminine, depending on how you like to describe the feminine aspect of God. Fire represents the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. Judgment. Mercy tempers the fire, so that it isn't hellfire that burns us, but rather a transforming fire as we are born again. And we'll talk about that more later in this podcast. And air represents God the Father or the Divine Masculine, depending on how you look at that. And that is knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom together, tempered by mercy and justice, give us understanding. And this cycle is going to bring together these four elements. And so that's why we need to look at these. And we're going to get into some more Kabbalistic symbolism as we move forward. But I want to make sure that you understand this part specifically, because we're going to be talking about water today. So when we talk about water, always remember, we're talking about the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's what washes us clean, right? So when we're looking at these days of creation, the first week, remember, that's our time of reflection. Where have we been? Where are we going? And we don't think of this on our own. I don't sit here and think, well, Dave, I'm really proud of myself for doing this, this, and this, and this is what I need to do next. No, we empty ourselves of our pride. We empty ourselves of our own desire of that earth, and we bring the heavens down. We let the Holy Spirit purify us and tell us what to do. What are the works the Lord wants us to accomplish in this Teshuva cycle? From one Rosh Hodesh to the next, we are on the path of returning to our original state. And this is the time when we're washed clean by the mercy. We've divided the light from the darkness, and now we're getting washed clean. And at this point, it's that first week, And the part that we're washing clean, that's the Lord's telling us. It takes a week. We're not just going to know. Even if we do know on day one, we still need that week to reflect, to let the Lord fill us with his light and tell us what we need to do. We're going to get the wisdom from the mother. We're going to get the knowledge from the Father. We're going to get the mercy from Christ. And we're going to get the fire, the judgment from the Holy Spirit. But we're not ready for the judgment yet. We're not even ready for the wisdom yet. So at this point, we are going to be baptized in the mercy. There's a reason why there's 4 weeks. There's a reason why this takes time. Because the creation happened in steps. And these aren't literal days. The sun, the moon, the stars haven't even been created yet. So the idea that we have to go through these days consecutively in a period of 4 weeks and then start them over, that should be nothing. All that whole month, that is one day in a sense, because it's a step. It's a step forward in Teshuva as we're holding on to the iron rod and moving towards that tree of life that Joseph Smith Sr., that Nephi, that Lehi all saw in their dreams. We're repeating these steps as we grow in Christ's grace. So regardless of what level one claims to be in our Mormon Kabbalistic studies, we will continue this practice because the path of Teshuva is a return to the path of happiness that we've been separated from by ego. Ego leads us to sin, which can give us a false sense of happiness. But that hollow happiness, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, as they say. It's always just out of reach. There's always one more. I watched the new Wonder Woman movie when it came out, and the bad guy in that just, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert here, he nailed it with egoism when he said, "But why not more? Yeah, I have everything, but why not more? Why more? Why not be satisfied with what we have in the moment that we have?" And a lot of people didn't really like that movie, but that's really what I loved about it, was it was all about the division between our egoistic desires and actually just being okay with what we have and what we need. So that first week, just empty yourself and let the light of God come in and wash you clean with that mercy. Now, I want to get into the water a little bit more because I want to point out that the water, there's a water cycle, right? You have condensation, pulls the water up into the heavens. What are the heavens? They are God's will for us. It's what God desires to bestow upon us. It's altruism. And that rains down, cleansing us. The heavens are coming down to the earth in rain, and that water pools up. What happens to water when it stops moving? It becomes stagnant. And that's what happens to us if we get trapped. If we get trapped in our egoism, we become like Eve and Adam. They had a garden full of everything, but they just wanted more. So when the serpent shows up and says, "Hey, partake of this apple," and she does. And she goes to her husband and says, "Hey, partake of this apple," and he does. She wanted more. The Eve inside of us represents our desire to receive, and she wanted more than she was allowed. And Adam, that represents our desire to bestow. He wanted to make Eve happy, but he didn't have the authorization to do so. So we ate of the fruit, regardless of the why. And we'll get into this story more as we move further into the Book of Remembrance. But we know that they weren't doing it for righteous means because they made excuses for themselves. They blamed it on others. The serpent made me do it. The woman made me do it. No one made anybody do anything. That water was stagnant. But the Lord, in his infinite wisdom and mercy and knowledge and justice, saw through this and uses an opportunity to teach. And that's what's happening with us in this first week. The water rains down, it cleanses us. And once we're cleansed, that water has to evaporate back up in the heavens, not to change the heavens, but to purify the water before it returns to us. All those things that get trapped in the water, they stay behind, and the purest mercy, the purest water gets pulled up to the clouds so it can rain back down and we can have fresh water to wash us clean. Now, with this in mind, and this cycle of mercy that we have to go through as we accept the grace of Christ, we accept the atonement, we try to become better persons, and we miss the mark. It's okay. Because God has a plan. The water's going to cycle through, and it's just going to start over again. What matters is why we are doing it. And the reason why we're doing it is because of Teshuvah. Because the love of the Creator is in us, and we have a desire to receive all that God will give us and to bestow all that the Lord has given us to give. And sometimes, because we're finite beings, we do our best, but we hurt ourselves or we hurt others. And so that mercy has to be there so that we can continue to grow in that grace as we are transforming deeper into God's love, building that relationship with the Lord. And that's the biggest part of our ministries. How can we teach others to have a relationship with God if we don't have one ourselves? So we must go through this. We must be on that path. We must be walking in Teshuvah. And then by our example, that light will be the hand that reaches out to help others to that iron rod, so that together we can all get to that tree. Atonement, at-one-ment. We aren't God, the Creator, and the creation. The goal is for us to be one with our God. As Paul said in Romans, to be the joint heirs with Christ. And this mercy allows us to do it.
So being in week two, we are back to Keter, the utmost Sephirot on the Kabbalistic tree of life. Now, we went over this last week, so I'm not going to get into that too deeply. I'm just going to say that this is the incomprehensible Sephirot, if you will. This is the infinite. That's why it's the crown. And the only way we can access it is through Bina, which is the finite understanding that we gain through knowledge, wisdom, mercy, and justice, which we've already discussed. Christ takes us to the top when we're born again. He gives us all this access, but we have to understand it. And that's what the second week is about, being born again, being taken to the top of the tree. And in day two, we are dividing the water between the earth and the heavens. We need that mercy. We've already discussed it. So what does this mean in our week of meditation on being born again? Well, remember, being born again is about that pierced heart, that special prayer that's written on our heart. So we have a new prayer written here from dividing the light from the darkness in the first day. So now from this prayer, God is granting us the mercy that we need to be washed clean. So now we can see that we are naked. We have this new perception, this clearer view of reality given to us by God. In the first week, we learned what it is we're supposed to be working on. In this second week, it is made clearer to us through this mercy. Our eyes are opened. We know how to purify our desires. In the third week, we've been born again, and we have faced our regret from the first day. We're on the second day now. So that, again, the light and the darkness is once again been divided. And so now we are in the Sephirot Gevura, which is Hebrew for strength. It is the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, that judgment. So we are being judged. How can we be judged without first having the light divided from the darkness in the first day? Without that mercy that we are receiving here on the second day. Through this judgment, we know our limitations. By understanding our limitations, we can move forward in Christ. We can now say, after this week, that we are a new creature. And in the second day, that focuses on renouncing. We've regretted in the first day of the third week. Now, on the second day, we've come to the waters of baptism. That's what this water is, right? It's washing away our sins. We cleanse ourselves from the things that separate us from God. And we desire to replace the acts of egoism with acts of altruism. And this is key. This is crucial. We can't move forward in the week of judgment until we have done this. It's because of Christ's atonement that we are able to do it. It's not something we can do on our own, but that gift is there. And that is our focus on day two of the second week. And then that leads us, of course, to the fourth week, the second day in the fourth week. Now we are on the Sephirot of Hesed, kindness, love, Christ's mercy. And I know that seems a little bit backwards, right? Normally you're baptized and then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But remember, this isn't the ordinances. These are the works. These aren't a set of things that we have to do to be saved. This is the building of the relationship. We've already come to Christ. We've already received the washing clean, right? That judgment that we received in the third week is preparing us for that mercy. It's letting us know that we're worthy of it. And that's important because in this week, the mercy isn't about us. Remember that lunar cycle. It waxes and it wanes. This is the fourth week, so the sky is getting darker as the moon is getting smaller. Why? Because it's not just about us accepting Christ's mercy for ourselves. It's also us giving that mercy and having that mercy for others. So what is the washing then? What is the water in this fourth and final week of Teshuvah? When these waters come, cleansing the pain that sin has caused us, it helps us clean out our kli, clean out that vessel that's caused pain to others. Now, that isn't always, you know, fixing a window. The example I was always given when I was growing up was a boy's playing baseball. He hits the ball too hard with his bat and he breaks somebody's window. So now he's got to mow lawns and he's got to pay for the window. He's got to do all these things. It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes the window can't be fixed. Sometimes there's no amount of money in the world that we can gain that will replace or repair the window. What if that window is a stained glass window made by the homeowner's grandfather, and the grandfather has passed away now? That's irreplaceable. There is no work we can do, but we can mourn with them. We can open up our souls with them and offer the opportunity of the atonement to wash that hurt, that pain, that sin clean, so that both parties can be made whole in God's peace. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. This is about that desire to extend healing to others. So in a sense, this is your ministry. This water of Christ's mercy not only washes us, it washes everyone. That is the restoration. That is to be fully restored because we're supposed to be one, at one-ment, atonement, at one-ment. To be fully restored, it can't be something that we have or that we do alone. It has to be something that we share with others. We deepen our relationship with the rest of creation. And that's important because we're not islands. We're not alone. It isn't like God created me and no one else exists. God didn't create you and none of us exist. We must be one as the creation, just as the Creator is one. This water allows us to do that. It allows us to connect to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Deuteronomy, there's a prayer. It's called the Shema, and it goes like this. Shema Yisrael, Yevah Eloheinu, Yevah Echad. And that translates to, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one, or Yahweh is united. Why would that be a prayer? Because as a creation, God wants us, Israel, to be united. And that is the restoration. That is the fourth week. We cannot complete the washing clean portion of Teshuva. We cannot complete the second day without repairing the world itself. And we do that by loving others. What are the two great commandments? Love God, love our neighbors. It starts with that sliver of a new moon, with we're loving God, and it ends with the sliver of the new moon as we are loving our neighbors. And then we start over. In closing, let's remember what the real point of Teshuva here is. We're pulling the heavens down to the earth. And in order to do that, there has to be that division. Just like we had to divide the light from darkness, now we have to divide the waters of the heavens and the water of the earth. It's my prayer today that you will take advantage of those waters raining down from heaven as we go through this cycle and purge the egoism from ourselves. Because as we move forward, it just gets harder. The creation gets more involved. And we're going to go over that next week. But if we can't be washed clean, then the new desires that are going to spring up will be more egotistical desires, and they won't be godly, altruistic desires. So these 2 days are critical. We have to divide the light from the darkness. We have to divide the waters from the waters. So we'll talk more about that as we move forward. Until then, shalom, God bless. We'll see you next week.